Hey guys, it's Chris, and I'm here to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by The Real Rider. Move over, Peloton. Now is time to experience the world's first moving stationary bike. You can sculpt your body with the incredible full body workout that is proven to burn 20% more calories than a standard stationary bike. Adding turns to your spin class takes your mobility and fitness to a whole new level. Become a better athlete and ride to our virtual classes that are fun and motivating. Order yours today at www.realridercanada.ca. That's R-Y-D-E-R. So www.realridercanada.ca. Now, let's start the damn show.
This is Jerome McGinley, and you're listening to Get the Puck Out.
All right, guys, welcome to another edition of Get the Puck Out. I'm your host, Chris Mancuso. Today is a glorious day. We have the exhibition games. Everybody gets one before we start the 2014 playoff. And it's great news today. We got hockey is back. We got games at 4, 8, and 10:30. At 4 o'clock, it kicks off with the Battle of Pennsylvania, the Pittsburgh Penguins taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. Then we have the Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Montreal Canadiens at 8 o'clock. And at 10:30 tonight, the Battle of Alberta, Calgary versus Edmonton. I expect there to be some fireworks right away. And to break into all this hockey stuff, I invited my friend, gaming legend, No Sleeves Gaming. What's up, brother?
Hey, man, I'm excited to talk some hockey. Finally got some real games to watch.
Man, this is crazy. And like you and me, both being from Niagara, being degenerates, we have some games to bet on, too.
Which absolutely is, we do.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, like, you know, we have a lot to talk about here. Right off the hop, the NHL puts together these exhibition games, and I think they did a great job. Look at the rivalry matchups we have. Right off the hop, we got the Battle of Pennsylvania. We got Toronto-Montreal and Edmonton-Calgary. And you know every team is going to have either maybe some guys that are on the fringe. Like, I know being a Bruins fan, like Andre Cash is not playing. Jack Studnicka will be in the lineup for their game tomorrow. That's a chance for that kid to come and take that guy's roster spot, right? I think these games are going to be pretty intense off the hop. Do you anticipate the same?
It is going to be really interesting, man. Like, in a lot of these matchups, aside from the Leafs and Canadiens, because they don't have anyone that's actually tough on their rosters, I don't know if fighting will be like, you know, and heavy stuff will be really prevalent just because there's no fans, right?
Yeah,
like, this is a lot like us playing ball hockey, man. Like, you can just hear every chirp. So, like, I don't know if that's going to mean more stuff because, you know, you have to defend yourself if someone's roasting you senseless because the entire team can hear it, right? I don't know. I mean, and I think you've got to think that at least in the Oilers case where they, you know, have a real legitimate shot, how much do they want to actually, like, get into what a Flames and Oilers game has been like this past season with how – you know, insane and random that this playoff is going to be, because not only are you just trying to survive a playoff round in hockey, which involves a lot of puck luck and things like that, you also have to dodge a virus that could wipe out your team's chances. If McDavid gets sick, you know, it's like, that's it. Like, there's no McDavid, and he has to at least wait, you know, 10, 14 days. That's a playoff round. So I don't know how intense these early games will be. I think that once playoff time comes, I don't think it'll matter. I think that they're, you know, we're going to see, like, as close to normal playoff hockey as we can get.
Yeah, well, you know what? One thing I'll give the NHL credit for is they put both hub cities in Canada. They have a bubble. They had players kind of get to the facilities early. They've been quarantining together. And yesterday, they do about 4,500 tests total when everyone gets to the bubble, and they come back with no positive results. You see what's happening over in the MLB with the Marlins. I think 13 of their guys now, as of this morning, test positive with COVID. MLB has no bubble. I think the NHL has done this the right way. I don't think this pandemic should interfere in any sort of return to play setting for the NHL. I think they're going to be okay. Now, you look at both sides. You know, the Boston Bruins were the top team in the league. The St. Louis Blues were looking really strong. Tampa Bay, all that goes out the window now because they've had a couple months off, no fans, completely different atmosphere. If you're looking at both sides of it, who are some teams that you still like Or maybe a team that you like to make a surprise run.
I hate that I'm saying this, but I don't think that there's a bet. Again, this is, I think this playoff run is going to involve just an insane amount of luck. Like, I mean, you have to not get sick, and the NHL, to what you're saying, has done an amazing job given what they've done to basically throw out the fact that they maybe could have gotten more money had they put in a bubble in Vegas, or, pleased a little bit more people in ownership if they would have gone to the Vegas route. Putting both in Canada was an insanely smart move. We have a fraction of the cases that they have in the States. So that has been fantastic. But if, if a team loses a star player, I think that due to the virus, because, there is people that are inside the bubble, like the, hotel workers, restaurant, cooks, things like that. Like, God forbid, like, one of them gets it. That's it. Like, so I think that being said, I actually think that Vegas benefits the most from this format. They don't – if they were to lose one person aside from Marc-Andre Fleury, and they have Robin Lehner now, so it's not even that of a drop-off, I think that Vegas is a team that is built to withstand that. I think that almost every single other team – Boston, I'm not going to lie, Boston is a good team, even though I can't stand the Bruins. Boston losing any one of the top three on that first line, their depth is not – as strong as some other teams. They are very top heavy with the best line in hockey. So losing any one of those players significantly impacts the Bruins' chances. Whereas if Vegas loses, Wild Bill or Pacioretty, maybe Mark Stone, that would be almost too much to overcome. But I think that they have the team that can withstand that.
They're
a bunch of just second, tweeners, but all throughout the lineup. I think that Vegas is a really strong team in this. Then you have Tampa, same kind of thing. They lose Stamkos or Kucherov. They're in really rough. They're in a lot tougher shape. And you got to remember that Tampa got off to kind of a mediocre start. This is basically a start to a season again. Like, there's no time. Like, in a best, the fact that they don't have to, they avoid that best of five in the start
is probably very beneficial.
Is big for them. Yeah. Any of those teams. Cause I think we're going to see a lot of upsets in what we would have considered an upset 5 months ago. I think that this is, just an absolutely insane first round that we're going to get. And, I'm excited for it. But Vegas is definitely the team that I think has the best shot from start to finish, including everything, whether it be from the skill to the team to survive the bubble.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. They do have a very, very deep roster, as well as the St. Louis Blues. I mean, they're as deep as anyone in the league. I love their back end. They're going to come into some salary cap problems this year. Mm-hmm. Alex Pietrangelo's future is up in the air when you look at a salary cap that doesn't move because of the pandemic, and you see they have $2 million in cap space, and they got to bring back Vince Dunn and Alex Pietrangelo. They're going to have to get really creative down there in St. Louis if they're going to be able to retain their captain, because Vince Dunn's an RFA. I doubt he's going anywhere. He was fantastic for them in the playoffs last year. One of those silent players that maybe didn't get a ton of credit there in that Stanley Cup final, but he was a really, really great, just one touch and out of the zone defenseman. Kid's really responsible. Yep. Luckily for us, we got to see Pietrangelo and Vince Dunn go through the Niagara Ice Dogs.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
So it is really cool to see those guys have the type of success they're having. A lot of teams find themselves in some cap hell, the Toronto Maple Leafs being one of them. They have to play in a play-in series versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. Always tough playing Tortorella in the playoffs. Guy demands his team buy in to the fullest extent or you don't play. So you're going to have a tough time outworking. Toronto can outskill them, but can they outwill and outwork the Columbus Blue Jackets?
I mean, that's probably the worst possible first round matchup for Toronto. Had it been in the regular season, I don't think it would have been much of a series just because half of Columbus's roster was hurt. No team benefited even remotely close than the Columbus Blue Jackets due to this stoppage. And now you have to rely on the Leafs, who have really struggled. I mean, their top end talent is unbelievable. But you have to now rely on them to carry them into a playoff series in which they just have not done in this core era of, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and Tavares. So that's going to be interesting. I have a feeling we might talk about this a little later on. Would it not be the most Toronto Maple Leaf thing ever if they were to win the cup this year and it just be a complete asterisk like throughout this whole, like, it would just be the most Toronto Maple Leaf thing, because now everyone could be like, and oh, this doesn't count. What are you like? No parade. Like,
that would be the biggest sports parade I think the world's ever seen.
Yeah,
if the Toronto Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup. So yeah, that wouldn't be surprising.
It would just be the most Leafs thing ever.
Yeah, I think that they're in tough, but a good thing if you get bounced out by a team like Columbus is if you're a team like Toronto who's in that salary cap hell right now, is you would have a 1-8 shot to get Lafreniere. And that is pretty insane. Like, imagine the Leafs got gifted the first overall pick if they get bounced by Columbus. That would allow them to make some moves up front to really shore up their back end.
When I saw that with the draft lottery and how it went, I really wanted we might talk about this matchup a little bit later on, but the worst matchup for this to unfold is the fact that Edmonton and Chicago have to play each other, and that one of them is going to get a shot at Lafreniere, which is just terrible.
The worst.
It's, yeah, as far as, like, as far as, yeah, as far as, like, an NHL fan, that is not what you want. And the one thing I will say, though, is I actually kind of want Toronto to win the lottery, just because I think that I want to see Lafreniere. It is almost impossible for a winger to carry a franchise. And a lot of people will be like, well, Ovechkin did it. Well, Ovechkin didn't win a cup until he had Kuznetsov and John Carlson and Backstrom. Like, it is – we saw it with Rick Nash and Columbus or Gabrick. Like, it is almost impossible for a winger to carry a franchise. And if he goes somewhere where he's the best forward on the team right out of the gate, I just don't think that that's – I don't want to see that. I would much rather him see – I mean, if Edmonton were to win, man, the entire just NHL community would crumble. But like,
oh yeah,
I Dreisaitl and McDavid, like, that would just be super exciting. Like, he would just be an absolute force. And I think the same thing if he were to, the Leafs would be, man, if the Leafs didn't win a cup in those 3 years, like, they won't ever. Like, they just wouldn't. Like, it's just because to get a free top six forward for them that's nine under a mil is just.
That's like exactly what they need to build a proper defense. Their defense stinks. You know, Tyson Barrie came in. He didn't fit the way that the fans had hoped. And one thing I want to talk to you about, too, is how about John Chyka? That's a little bit of a weird situation that unfolded down in Arizona. Everything that I've been told was that they kind of had some initial discussions with Taylor Hall regarding a contract that he was left out of. He got upset. There's rumors that he has a sports analytics job offering with the New Jersey Devils organization, because they own like a ton of other teams, including English Premiership League, the Steelers. They own tons of sports. I think they own Southampton or something like that in the English Soccer League. They own a bunch of sports. So, like, there's people saying that he has like a general analytics job on the table. And that Taylor Hall negotiation kind of set things bad. But when you saw the statement come out from the Arizona Coyotes, that was the fuck our ex kind of message they were coming out with there. I mean, that was some, like, I could taste the salt in that tweet.
It was awfully Jade. I heard Elliot Friedman last night report that I guess there was a team that was undisclosed asked to speak with Chyka, and the Coyotes were like, no, like, stop it. And Chyka went back to them and said, well, maybe we could get some insight on what they're thinking in terms of, like, building. Why not just have me talk to them or whatever? And the Coyotes like, no, like, stop it. Like, no. And that kind of fractured the relationship as it started. And then he just quit outright. And it's very weird because it doesn't look to be a lateral position. So it has to be for a significant amount of money to leave a general manager job. But
if you're like the big analytics guy across multi-sports platforms, that's probably the job that's going to blow it out of the water. But you know what? I think that kid's analytic job that he did in the desert stinks. I mean, they're looking at a team now that wants to keep Taylor Hall. They got, like, they still have the shittiest contracts ever on the books. I mean, I really don't know what that kid was really thinking.
I think that analytics plays a great part in professional sports. I think that it plays a far less significant role in terms of in development. And where they've really struggled is the draft. And they've drafted high because they haven't done well. And now they've made really good trades, like with Hall to get Hall.
Yeah, that was a great one.
They built a pretty good roster, but man, none of their draft picks in the last little while has fit.
Turned out.
And I'm just wondering if that's because analytics at a major junior level just doesn't parlay nearly as much because they're
moved on from Max Domi really quick too. Like yeah, he had like a couple slow seasons and he was just out the door fast for Galchenyuk. That wasn't a great move at all. So like if I were the Coyotes, I mean, I wouldn't be too salty about how things really folded out.
No, absolutely. I think his role in hockey is important and it's definitely changed, you know, the landscape of how general managers do their job and teams do their job now. And I think that there is a big place in analytics for hockey. But I just think that it must not translate nearly as well. I think that because his scouting staff has just not hit at all. Like no. Just, Barrett Hayden is you know, whatever. It's tough for them. And that was a reach when they took him.
Keller hasn't, like, I'm waiting for Keller to kind of grow into something more.
Exactly. And, they all know, just like seem to have a Max Domi and, they just have a, they have a, what seems to be a bunch of players that can potentially be second liners. They just can't get that, you know, Pasternak or, you know, Barzal in the middle of the first. They don't seem to be able to hit that.
No, they can't hit it at all. I mean, you look at Pasternak, like you mentioned, 25th overall. Like, you need to get those guys. You got to be able to hit those guys. At some point, if you're going to have any sort of success, you look at the top teams, like guys like Bergeron, I think, was a second-round pick. Brad Marchand, a third-round pick. Pasternak's a late first-round pick, right? Like, you just have to be able to have the scouting staff put that together and build something. And I don't think that's a huge loss with John Chyka, although I know Sullivan is the GM, but I've heard rumblings out there of Uncle Peter Chiarelli's name has come back into the mix with a few teams. And I think the Arizona Coyotes would maybe like him in a role of like an assistant general manager, just to kind of help Sullivan guide it. Cause I know the franchise and the new ownership group or whatever there in the desert really do like Sullivan a lot. They think very, very high of him.
Dude, you know what Chiarelli is? He is like that guy who bets on sports, but is super safe at it and builds up his bankroll. And then he's like, oh, let's put 400 on like the eighth inning of a game chasing points. And it just always blows up. Like he builds teams very well, but the trades that he makes to try and hit a home run are just like franchise breaking. Like what he did in India, they're just absolutely. And it's not just once.
One time in Boston. Yeah, he hit one time in Boston when he brought in Nathan Horton and gambled Dennis Weidman when we didn't have a puck moving defensive. And then after that, the guys traded Tyler Seguin.
Yep.
The guy traded Taylor Hall. He just always goes over the top. I think he traded Phil Kessel out of Boston and made that move as well with Brian Burke. So
Like that wasn't a bad deal to move Kessel, but then he moved. If they would have kept Seguin and Hamilton for even just one more season.
Yeah.
Like Seguin got kind of chased out, but man, if they just would have kept him for one more season. I know Hamilton had locker room issues. He seems to be a bit of a weirdo.
He has them everywhere. He's just not
he's just a very odd guy. But man, just keeping Seguin, man, would have, you know, that's at least.
Yeah, imagine they had Pasternak and Seguin on the you could have Pasternak on the second line with David Krejci, still have Seguin up with those boys. But you know what? I think Tyler Seguin's come a long way as far as maturity since then. So, you know, I think that sometimes these guys need to learn a lesson like that.
Sure.
I mean, when the stories that come out of Boston, and you see it basically confirmed this year when they do a 2011 reunion on Zoom and Nathan Horton's the only player not there. Like, why is he the only player not there? The players were making jokes at Seguin about it. I don't know if something happened with his wife, but certainly the kid made a pass at his wife, right?
Yep.
So, you know, you can't be doing stuff like that. And I get where that's a no cross zone where you, no matter how skilled they are, you got to move the guy. And I understand why Uncle Peter kind of did that. But then there's like a zillion other trades, including trading Johnny Boychuk for 2 second round picks and then flipping 2 second round picks for, who's that guy? He's not bad now. He's like a fourth liner, third liner in Washington. Brett Connolly.
Oh, Brett Connolly,
They ended up moving like Johnny Boychuk and giving the equivalent for Connolly, which just made absolute zero sense to me. But, buddy, we're getting a little mayhem out here now. I can hear babies yelling. I'm all fired up about hockey. Quickly before we go, why don't you let everyone know, what are you doing right now? What's big in the world of the gaming world now that the new game's delayed? A bit of a weird summer. Normally you're gearing up for the new game to come out, what, next month?
Yeah, usually it is in September. It is delayed until October, which is kind of normal. So it's about, I think, 3 weeks, a little 3 weeks delayed, which is okay. Or 4 weeks delayed, so it's not terrible. But I will be doing the pregame lobby for the Gaming World Championships, the kind of the staple tournament to end the season in for the NHL video game. There'll be about $60,000 prize pool, so I'll be the host of that. Really excited about that. And then I've got a couple other events for 6v6 with the Columbus Blue Jackets, and another one for a company called Northern Arena that's doing a $10,000 prize pool. So I'm excited for that. But I'm just excited for hockey to be back, man. Like, I'm excited for these three games tonight. Before we go, man, you want to make a couple picks?
Yeah, let's make some picks. Let's go.
All right, today of Penguins Flyers. I'm not a big believer in the Flyers. I know they had a big run. I think the stop really hurt them in terms of momentum. I don't think the roster's all that impressive, to be honest with you. I think the Penguins win this one. However, it apparently Murray's getting two periods, Jari's getting one. So I think I might be take the Penguins, but it'll be a little bit scary there in the third. Canadiens and Leafs. I think the Leafs come out strong here for whatever reason. Just call it a hunch. Plus, the Canadiens roster is meh. But, I'll take Toronto in that one. And then Oilers, Flames, same thing, man. I think that the big guns I think it'll take some time for a lot of the depth guys to get their legs, but the likes of Connor McDavid and McKinnon won't really need to do that. They will just be probably even faster on television in terms of how what it looks like when they're playing other players, I think. So I'll take the Oilers in that one, man. But I'm excited for the games today, and I want to thank you for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. And for me, I'm going with the Philadelphia Flyers. I think they're going to come out strong today. Not that I'm as into them as everyone else seems to be. I'm not. That said, I'm not that big into the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I said it. I said, if anyone's going to pull off the upset, it's not going to be the Oilers that blow it. It's going to be the Pittsburgh Penguins. Claude Julien coaches a real defensive system. And they got Carey Price, man. And when you got Carey Price and a Shea Weber, who's even had more time, I think that the crazy upset could come from the Montreal Canadiens that series. So I'm going to take the Flyers. I agree with you on the hunch. I think the Toronto Maple Leafs come out tonight. And not only do they beat the Montreal Canadiens, I'm taking them by 2 goals or more. I'm betting that game for sure, I'm taking Toronto by I think they win by 3 goals tonight. I think they're going to absolutely shit pump them tonight. Yep. I think that Toronto's notorious fast starts could bode well for them this entire playoffs. And having a healthy and rested Freddie Anderson, they've never seen that. By the time he gets to game 7 in the TD Garden in Boston, he's on a fucking oxygen ventilator, basically. And tonight's game, I'm going with the Edmonton Oilers as well. I heard actually a couple Oilers players say that McDavid looks faster than he has in the past, like whipping around the ice. I don't know how that's possible because he's already got like the rocket skates from the old 3-on-3 NHL game there, where you pick up the rocket skates and you flow around. That's kind of what Connor McDavid is anyway. So yeah, I'm going Flyers, I'm going Leafs, and I'm going Oilers. So the only game we really differ on is that Penguins Flyers game. 4 o'clock today, guys. You can check that out. Let them know where to find you and find your content before we cut off here, buddy.
Oh, yeah. If you're interested in the NHL video game, hit me up on Twitter at NoSleevesGaming and on YouTube as well. If you need any help or some content in regards to the NHL video game, it is my full-time gig. I am at Sleeveless Gaming on YouTube.
All right, buddy. Well, that wraps up today's episode of Get the Puck Out. I want to thank you for dropping by, and I have a feeling we'll see you a lot more, buddy. Take care.
Absolutely. Have a good one, man.
Thanks, buddy.